Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to On God's Campus, Voices from the Queer Underground. I'm Crystal Cheatham, your co-host, alongside REAP's director, Aaron Green. This episode, we have a compelling story about building a student group from the ground up, and it's brought to us from REAP's own board member, Angela Whitlock. Angela is a licensed, independent clinical social worker, social justice community event organizer, and U.S. Army veteran. But before we get into Angela's wonderful story, this holiday season, we want to bring you a story straight from a student who wants the world to know what happened to her on one of the most non-affirming campuses in the United States. And now, a story by Vivian Ling. My name is Vivian Ling, and I attended Wheaton College, Illinois, from 2016 to 2023. It took me a bit longer to graduate due to struggles with mental illness and the pandemic, as well as being targeted by the college as a whole for being queer. When I finally realized I was queer, I received so much hatred and opposition to my very existence. This all came to a head in my last year at Wheaton. I officially came out around July 2021 and began medically transitioning in May 2022. I made sure to clear with student administration and student care that I was doing so and that my enrollment wouldn't be at risk. After being assured that everything was fine, I began my final year at Wheaton. Within a few weeks of the beginning of the fall 2022 semester, I was grabbing coffee with a friend at a coffee shop in our student center. I was wearing very little makeup, just a small amount of eyeliner to accentuate my eye shape. I got up to use the restroom. I used the men's restroom for safety as I did not pass at the time, and a large athlete followed me. He played a podcast about transgenderism must be eradicated, aloud outside the stall I was in. As I was leaving, he tried to physically assault me, but I dodged and quickly left the area. I reported this attempted assault to the administration and was promised that I would have adequate support and protection. No such thing was given to me. Student care and the Title IX office told me that gender identity and sexuality are not protected classes at Wheaton, and because I didn't have any proof, they could not help me, nor would they try to find the person who confronted me in the restroom. I brushed it off because there wasn't much of anything I could do, and having only begun to process it now, over a year later. Later that year, during the spring 2023 semester, one of my professors insinuated to the class that all trans and non-binary people were groomers, knowing that I was openly transgender. Once again, I brought this to the Title IX coordinator, who forwarded my concern to the Bias Incident Reporting Office. Some weeks later, I was told they talked to the professor and no retaliatory action would be taken. I was left to finish my semester with the knowledge that a professor of mine suspected me of being a snitch. Though I am thankful for the community and friends I made at Wheaton, I wish I could have those without suffering traumatizing experiences, and I regret not transferring out sooner. Most importantly, be safe. If you are still at Wheaton and cannot leave, if it is unsafe for you to come out, by all means prioritize your own safety. I know for a fact that there is a wonderful community of ex-Wheaton queer people ready to support you and each other. As of writing this, January 11, 2024, Wheaton has updated the student handbook to state that students are not allowed to medically transition while enrolled. And now, our interview with Angela Whitlock.
Angela Whitlock is a graduate law student at Cumberland School of Law at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. She is the founder and president of Outlaw, an identity-based student organization that aims to provide a safe space and facilitate an environment to encourage the studies of legal issues affecting the LGBTQ+ community. Although Angela applied for Outlaw's official recognition in 2022, the request was denied by Samford University's administration. Currently, Angela continues to pursue all avenues possible to achieve official recognition for Outlaw and fair treatment for all LGBTQ+ students across Samford's campus.
Welcome to the pod, Angela. How are you doing?
Hey, Crystal. Hey, Aaron. I'm super excited. I think this is my first time being on a podcast. It's super cool. So thank you for inviting me. I think so. I've been on a panel. I have not been on a podcast.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I mean, I think it's amazing because you're a board member of REAP to have you here representing and talking about some of the work that you've done. I know that you're a vet and you're a social worker now. Is that right?
That's right. I served U.S. Army. I did 11 years, enlisted side, officer side. I was on the medical corps. Also, I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I got my license back in 2021. So I do some remote counseling in my spare time, and I love my clients.
Let's go.
Wow. That's incredible. And all the other like advocacy that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously we mentioned your advocacy work at Samford University, which is, I mean, tell us a little bit about Samford. What's the climate like at Samford, like for a queer person?
Oh my gosh. The climate, it is, if you are queer, you better stay under the radar, is pretty much the climate. We have had several protests in the past, trying to get them to change their policies and recognize our groups, our student organization groups, and all of those we've not been successful. So we're there, but if you, and there is an undergraduate student organization called PRISM, and they are LGBTQ and ally student organization. They have an Instagram page. Check it out if you have the opportunity. They're always doing little events here and there. However, they are not recognized by the school, and neither is Outlaw, which is the LGBTQ student, LGBTQ plus student and ally student organization at the law school, at Cumberland Law School.
So I'm curious.
They also have an Instagram page.
Excellent. I mean, right now, Aaron and I are working with students around the United States who are also trying to found their own student groups on some of the most unaffirming campuses in the world. I guess, what is the denomination of Samford?
They are Baptist affiliated.
Okay.
I want to say historically Southern Baptist, but yeah.
I have a weird connection to Samford. My housemate in seminary went to Samford and graduated, and he's gay, and I won't say his name or anything like that. Obviously, I want to, you know, protect him because he still has tons of friends at Samford and is still connected. But it was just so sweet to, because he moved out to California to go to the seminary to kind of find his queerness and like be open and
wow.
and free. And so to see that evolution, like to hear what you're talking about, Angela, how hard it is for queer folk at Samford mm-hmm. University, and to see my friend come and find himself and find his identity and his queerness was kind of a cool thing. But yeah, it sounds really, really rough out there.
Yeah, I mean, when I left, I graduated this year, the president of the school refused to have meetings with us, with Outlaw. We would try to reach out, talk to him, and he refused to even sit down with us. It's very Christ-like, but
the most Christ-like. Wow.
I'm curious about your coming out experience and how that it has impacted the work that you do now. It could not have been easy. If it happened in Alabama, is that where you grew up?
Yes. I was born and raised in Huntsville, Alabama, which is the northern part. I grew up very conservative, single family household. My father is a Church of Christ minister currently, basically has been all my life, but he lives in Florence, Alabama. My mom, growing up, we were Jehovah's Witness at one point.
Oh,
Then
Lord.
we became Pentecostal. So we were around there, but
All the best
you
ones.
know, all the best ones. So I had a little bit of everything. Like you always saw me at least 3 days a week in some sort of church activity of some sort.
Wow.
Youth group kid.
I did youth group, all that. So yeah, so it was difficult in that type of environment, very conservative. I came out right before I joined the military. So it was kind of cool because it was like, hey, I'm gay, bye. Going to boot
Yep,
camp.
I'm out. Peace.
So you were a late teen when you decided to come out.
Yes,
How
I
did your
had just finished. I think it was, yeah, I did 2 years of college. I think it was 19, 19, 20. Yeah.
How did your parents react? How did your family react? I
Oh,
know that
Lord.
when I came out, my mom actually had to go to my extended family and tell them, hey, Crystal's a lesbian, because I
Oh,
was too
wow.
scared, right? But the
Yeah.
next time I went to Thanksgiving, everybody was cool, everybody was chill, nobody was acting a fool. I mean, I got very lucky. I just know that's not everybody's experience.
No, it wasn't mine. I came out to my mom first, and it was one late night. It was I came home late. I broken curfew, I believe, that night. I was kind of a rebel. But I broke curfew and I already knew mom was going to be upset. I get in the living room and we start talking about why I've changed. What's wrong with you, Angela? I've seen noticed something different. And so as we're sitting there, I'm crying and I'm just like, mom, I'm gay and I don't want to go to church anymore. She was talking about church and all this. And I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm gay. And one thing led to another. She just said, well, I think she said something along the lines of, well, I didn't, it's not because of me, or I didn't do that to you or something.
They always think that.
And then I went to sleep. I do remember the next morning there was holy oil. What is it? The oil thing
Anointing
and
oil?
the anointing oil and mom was over me in my bed and I'm waking up and she's got the oil and she's putting it making a cross symbol on my
She's trying
forehead.
to cast out the demon.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. I didn't know what was going on. I just woke up and she's praying. My mom's Hispanic, so if you can imagine, she's praying in Spanish and all these things.
You gotta play along with it and just start foaming at the mouth and
Yeah, I
my
mean,
God.
it was quite an experience. I think though, with my because I said soon after, I think it was within a few weeks, I joined the military, so I was already on my way to boot camp. And during boot camp, that's when she kind of through writing letters back and forth in boot camp, our relationship strengthened because she realized, I'm so far away. She wants to maintain a relationship. Doesn't really matter who I am, what I am. And so that time away actually helped. So, but yeah, it was rough in the beginning for sure.
Wow.
You came out and then you went into the military, which I think at that point had already gotten away with, done away with, don't ask, don't tell. Did it?
No.
No. So it was like you just jumped into another frying pan.
Pretty much. I guess I can. So I was in, I think, 2 years, and then the repeal happened, of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I remember having a girlfriend at that time, and before the repeal, and we had to kind of dance around as far as like no one could know. Like I was stationed in Texas at the time. Everyone would go out on the weekends and go on pass and come back and say, oh, I did this during my pass. And then we went to the movies and we couldn't talk about, oh, I was hanging out with old girl. I'm not gonna say her name, obviously, but Me and so and so, we went out, and I would love to say that, but I can't for fear of being kicked out. And so it was very transformative, and it was very, it needed to be done. But you could definitely see the difference as far as like myself and my experience before the repeal and then following the repeal when I could be open. And you know, in the military, we talk about our military values, the army values, and one is integrity. You can't really have integrity if you have to kind of hide a part of yourself and you can't be honest, you know. Integrity kind of goes with honesty, and sometimes you couldn't say where you were or what you were doing because, oh, well, that will show that I was with somebody and I'm engaging in gay activities and I can be kicked out and lose my job. So that's how, that's one reason, one of the arguments I remember that was raised as far as the repeal and getting that done.
Engaging in gay activities. I yes. Yes. Yeah, wow. That I you know, I it's always interesting to hear the, like different coming out stories and you know, I don't never think like, oh gosh, I have the worst one for sure. I don't at all. But it's just very interesting to hear different families and how they react and then what our response is and how we handle that, you know, and but it's it does always seem to, like for a lot of us have a similar experience with parents who internalize it like we've done something to them rather than them comforting us, because that's a moment of deep vulnerability and pain. I'm sure it was for all of us, right? But I don't know if for y'all, I had to end up comforting my dad when I came out to my dad, you know, instead of him comforting me. And that was, you know, and I didn't notice it in the moment. I didn't notice it until afterward. And but anyway, so that was kind of difficult, you know, to realize in hindsight, like, oh wow, you
Because
know.
he blamed himself and you had to.
Yeah, it was because it was hard for him, so I had to turn into the parent, you know. And I, yeah, and like I said, in that moment, I didn't realize I was doing that. But later in therapy, lots of therapy, you know, that I realized it. But it's just, it's so interesting all the different dynamics of coming out and like some for a lot of us, to myself included, it was a process with my family. I came out to them multiple times, and then it got to a point where it was okay, you know. But time and time again, I know we're talking about Thanksgiving and chosen family. I can't believe I did this. I brought a trans friend home for Thanksgiving because their family was from Peru, and they didn't have their family, his family, you know, at all. And so at the time, they were not out as a trans person, as a trans man, but I wanted them to have, you know, Thanksgiving, and I think I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I expected that my parents or my family would be open and inclusive and loving and kind, and it really blew up in my face, and it was one of the most awful experiences I've ever had with my family ever. And I remember getting the hell out of there with my friend. And just going, it was so awful. And I don't wish that on anybody, but that was a rough, definitely a rough patch in my life, in my own coming out process as well.
I think it's incredible, though, that you were persevering in your coming out process. I mean, even you, Angela, nobody could tell you that this wasn't your path. This wasn't who you are, not your family, not your church, not the government. Aaron, the same thing. Like, it was hard the first time, and you were like, well, I guess I have to repeat it, and I'll do it again, and I'll do it again, which is wild because people are like, well, it's a choice. And it's like, well, if I were choosing, then why would it constantly be this uphill battle?
I didn't look at it as perseverance. That's really interesting that you say that. But yes, I guess it was a, you know, a persevering of my identity. And we do that, right, as queer folk. We have to, because like Crystal, like you said, it's not a choice. If I could choose to be straight, you know, then great, that would make my life so much damn easier. If I were
So
actually
much
attracted to
easier.
men, well, I wouldn't want that, but it would be easier in a lot of senses to, you know, I would, you know, in a lot of ways. But anyway.
I was also gonna say that, like, the perseverance and also this allegiance to start building community. And you, Aaron, did that by starting to find other queer people. I'm curious about how, in what ways, Angela, you started to build community to kind of replace, what you had lost in Alabama. What you weren't, I don't know, what you were or weren't able to get in the military.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, there's a lot of gay women in the military.
Ayo.
That is not a secret. When I started basic training, I was like, okay, you are not ashamed. And everybody is cool. And you know, they have the haircut, they've got everything. Y'all know. It was very interesting to, you know, see a separate side, because I grew up, like I said, very conservative, very in the church, evangelist and all that kind of stuff. And so to be in a climate, even before the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that, I mean, we just existed and people just knew. You just couldn't really talk about it all the time, but you knew she was with her and she's doing that, you know, but we just couldn't talk about it too much. But I did build a sense of community. I remember when I was stationed in Germany, my roommate was gay and was dating a German citizen, and everything was cool. And that was after the repeal. I remember my first Pride March was in Cologne, Germany, when I was stationed there. And so I have always been like seeking out, like, where are the people who are like me? And when I say more like me, I was more drawn to like the queer community more than the Hispanic community and more than just the Black or just women in general. Because I think that part of my identity, because we all talked about intersectionality and things like that, and so I have many, but that queer identity, unfortunately, is the one that's most, well, the least accepted by society. And so it's like, even when I'm hanging out with the Black folks, there's a lot of them who's just like, oh, well, but she's gay though, so she's still in her own, you know what I mean? So just like, she's one of us, but she's not. And I hang out with maybe the Hispanic folks and there, but she's only half Hispanic, she's also Black, and she's also queer, and we don't know. So I think the one that accepted me the most was the LGBTQ community. So I always gravitated wherever I went, I would try to find them. So one cool fact, when they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there was a group called OutServe. Have y'all ever heard of OutServe?
No.
I don't
It's
think
like the
so.
military like version of like, I don't know, like a queer space, the organization for queer service members. And they had a magazine that came out, and it would be published every month. And then after the repeal, they had the first, I want to say it was like the first edition, and they were asking all like service members from all the branches to submit a picture, and to kind of, and they were going to do 100 service members that are coming out. And this
That's
was right after the
terrifying.
repeal, and
Wow.
I submitted my name and I submitted my photo. And I've got to find it. I'm sure it's somewhere. I'll find it if y'all ever want to see it. I was one of the 100 service members that came out after the
Wow.
reveal.
That is
So
very brave. That is so brave.
that is brave and cool. Like, you're a badass.
Thanks. Yeah, we knew
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, we did know that. That's awesome. Wow. Yeah,
So,
that's scary.
after you left the military, what inspired you to go to Samford, to go to a
Yeah.
place that you new was conservative. I guess I'm asking because the students that we work with are in mostly in undergrad, and you know that experience. It's like you go to the school where your parents and your community are. Your parents tell you to go there, they're going to
Right.
pay for it. I went to a school where I guess maybe a third of my graduating high school class were all there. So it wasn't so much as like I was forced to. It was just like, well, these are my community, these are my people, this is where I show up. Whereas you had been in different spaces. What
Right.
inspired you to go back to go to Samford, this place that you knew was kind of homophobic? Kind of.
Two things, money and location, location, location. So, like I said earlier, my family is from Alabama. My mom lives in Alabama, my brother lives in Georgia right next door. So as far as location, I was, let me back up. I was accepted into, I want to say, six law schools around the country. And I narrowed it down to Samford because, number one, it was the closest to my family, and number two, they gave me the scholarship, the most money in scholarship than the other ones. So that's the only reason, money and location. But had it not been, it might have been New York School of Law, which I was accepted into, and also Seattle University. So,
What was it
but
like when you started to build Outlaw?
that one, I did not go into Samford with the mindset of I'm gonna start this LGBTQ student
I'm gonna
organization.
be a
That was
shit stirrer.
never, yeah, no. I mean, how hard law school is. So like, no, definitely not in the cards. I was trying to just like get in there, make some friends, whatever, but like I'm just trying to graduate. In the beginning of every school year though, they have a student organization fair. And they usually set up outside on the courtyard, and they've got all these tables set up. And you see, like, oh, this is the Republican student organization, and this is the Law Review, and this is the Native American. And they got their little booths, and they're out there, and they're like, hey, you're new, you're a 1L, join our group. And so, me and there were like a couple friends of mine, but really one, one main friend that I had, Austin, he was with me, and we were walking around, looking at the different tables, and we noticed the Democrat table, and we were like, okay, this is cool, but where's our table? We're obviously talking about the queer table, and we didn't see one, and so he looked at me and he said, I think we should start one, and I said, I think we should too. And that's basically how it started, where it was just like sometimes you don't see, any kind of representation in your space, and you feel like it's necessary. And especially if you have somebody, with you who's like, I'm with you, like, let's get this started, then you're just like, okay, well, it looks like there may be a need here, and let's see if there are others. And then I started talking to other people and noticed somebody before me actually wanted, there was a student of grade before me who wanted to start a group like this, but he never was able to. And so then he joined, and we got little people, some folks signed up and on a list, and things went from there. So
Were you ever afraid of retaliation from the school? I mean, it's to me, it seems terrifying just to assume somebody is gay and then go talk to them about a club that you're starting, right? Like, wasn't
right.
it scary?
As far as like trying to find the students, not real. So I think what really helped kind of catapult it was the Democrats group, because damn near everybody in the Democrats was an ally or was family. So we started there, and we started talking to the president of the group at that time, my boy Alex, and he's a great ally. And he started, since he was there a year before me, he could tell me, oh, I know about some folks here.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Here and there, and then we actually, I think we posted it in our GroupMe chat. That's what it was, in the Democrats GroupMe chat. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, and he said, hey, there's this student who wants to start this group. If anybody's interested, like this comment or something like that, the message. And so we got a whole bunch of folks who liked it. I think we got like over 20 or so. And so We're like, well, we got people who are interested in this. Let's all meet around this time and talk about it. So we set a date, and I think we met in the library, and we just kind of started things from there.
That's really cool. And that's helpful advice, I think, for the students that we work with. Because we do have quite a few that are, you know, have at least maybe some semblance of like an underground group on campus. Right. Or in some cases, like we have one student who is the only out person, or the only person comfortable being out, and they're looking to find, you know, other folks who might want to come into the group and be protected anonymously. But there's still a lot of fear, of course, and maybe even more so now, because of the election results and things like that. We noticed a lot of tension that students were feeling, and as a result of that. So, but that's really great advice, is to get hooked up with other groups that are probably allied, you know, on campus. That's super smart.
And we had no idea how to start it. I remember we actually, because we didn't know what we were going to call the group or anything. Mm-hmm. And so we started Googling, because we love the internet, and noticed that the University of Alabama had a group, and they call themselves Outlaw. And of course, it's a public school, a little different than we are, but I gave their president a call. His name is Cole. He's gone now, but Cole. I said, hey, Cole, how did you guys get your stuff started? And what do we need to do? And he helped me out. I talked to Britt Blaylock. She tried to start the first undergraduate LGBTQ group at Samford years and years ago. So we talked a little bit. I even reached out to Mercer, the president of the Outlaws in Mercer over there in Georgia, and got some information from her. So we wanted to work smarter, not harder. Austin was with me during that entire process. So that's how we kind of got the word out, where we started, how we started it.
Very cool. And your determination is like real. That's awesome.
I think I also, you know, I was 1L, so I love community. It's important to have a sense of belonging. Being in the military, one thing I learned, I was I moved like 11 times in 11 years in the military. Like I was always going here,
Wow.
here, here. And it didn't matter where I was stationed, as long as I was surrounded by good people. As long as the environment wasn't toxic, I didn't have leaders that were just hounding me or, micromanaging. If you had good people around you, it didn't matter if you were in Baghdad. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like it would just, hey, at the end of work, they'd be like, hey, let's go do a barbecue. Hey, let's go to the PX and go get a drink or something like that. And so just it made everything great. So I was kind of looking for something similar where we can all get together as queer students. We could talk about issues that affect us, just like the other, student groups do, like the Black Law Student Association. They talk about certain things that pertain to that demographic. And we got together. Sometimes we would talk about shows, RuPaul. Sometimes we talk about, show. Sometimes we talk about things going on in the law, banning books. I mean, that was more of a recent thing, but just whatever affected our community at the time. And we felt safe talking about it. I think was there an issue? There was, sometimes there was a story of somebody being called the F word, and he felt comfortable, letting us know in the group about what was going on with him. So it was also important to kind of bridge a gap between like the administration and the students that are, LGBTQ, because they're not always tracking what's going on with this group of students. And so to have kind of like this is like our hub. And we can relay to the administration, like, hey, this is going on. These are how our students are, the students are being affected. That really helped. Also, when it came to like scholarships, I started getting information from like the dean saying, hey, and other staff, hey, there's a scholarship that's for minorities, especially LGBTQ. And instead of them having to just like, send it out, I guess like to everybody in the school, they just knew, okay, Angela, can you relay that to everybody? You know what I mean? It was just an easier
You guys were a
thing to
hub,
do.
you know?
We're
You
a
guys
hub.
were a hub.
Yeah, get that information out. And then whenever there's like clinics and stuff, like for wills, like, hey, or a name change clinic, that's something going on in the community where you can network with other lawyers. And then, we brought, I had a panel one of the last year that I was there, and I brought local lawyers that are LGBTQ. I brought them to the school. Some of them went to the school years ago, and they sat on that stage and they talked about their experience of how they were with while they were in school. And they were like, we never thought we would come back and be open about our sexuality and actually be welcomed and be on this stage. And so it's a great experience, and it's very much needed. I'm sorry, I
So,
can ramble.
no, I the growth of something, like creating something out of nothing, is one of the most amazing feelings in the world, especially when it inspires community. And I got to have that experience, living in Philadelphia after I came out, and just learning about myself through other people. To me, it was all about my friends and my community, that helped inform parts of my identity that I didn't understand or know. Because being raised in fundamentalism, you're taught not to ask those questions, so. Anyway, what you were talking about, this having this experience walking on a campus and seeing all of these different groups planted on the lawn or wherever, and you're like, oh, which one of these do I identify? Which one of these inspires me to do something to create community? At what point did you realize that Outlaw was not going to be one of those official groups?
So at the time, the dean that we had, that was, the dean of the law school, he had no issues with Outlaw becoming a formal group. We submitted all the paperwork. We went to the registrar's office. I'm not really sure that's really her title. But she gave us the forms. We filled it out. We submitted them. And as far as we were concerned, we were told the process is you complete the form, it goes to the, what's the name? I don't know her title, but the person who works, like, is it the assistant dean maybe? It goes to assistant dean and then the dean. But both of them kind of make the, they approve that request, and it's usually done within days, you know. So it was approved, no issues. And then we asked, okay, cool. Now that we're approved, when are we going to be listed on the website? Like all the other groups are listed. Because I do remember as I was trying to, you know, as I was looking at what school do I want to go to, I always, you know, look at the website. What kind of groups do they have? Because once again, I am looking for a sense of belonging. And I didn't see, I saw Black Law Students Association, I saw these, I didn't see one. So I was like, I do want to make sure that people coming in, if they are part of our community, feel somewhat safe, knowing that there is a group, there is a safe space for them. So I wanted to make sure that was on the website. When I brought that up to him, he said, well, Samford controls the website. And that might be a problem because it's almost like if it's kept here in Cumberland and we have oversight over it, it's cool. But as soon as they start meddling with it, then it's like they may not be cool. So I was like, well, how do we do that? So then I was told to submit an application through the undergraduate process for approval, which none of the other law school student associations had ever had to do. We have our own separate approval like process, but now they're wanting us to do that one and also do this undergraduate Samford. Like, why would we're a graduate school? Why are we doing an undergraduate approval process for our group? But that's what they wanted us to do so that we can get it on the website and everybody's informed, I guess,
It's
of what's going
marketing.
on. Like it's some sort of crazy thing. Meanwhile, there was another group that they got their approval within like 2 days around the same time that we did, but I'm not going to name that group at Cumberland, but they're doing really great. And they did not have to go through the undergraduate process. So while we're trying to get through this undergraduate process, we were stopped. I think there was like at least 8 steps that you had to go through. We were stopped at like step number three. And I have like a little chart showing what the steps are, but it's whatever.
Because you're
We were
organized,
like,
yeah.
yeah, it's very organized, but we were stopped at the part where it's like, okay, you have to submit your form through the, I think it's like student affairs or something. And then they're supposed to schedule a meeting with the group members and with some other VIP people to go further. We never got that meeting. And so I kept asking, hey, I submitted the form. According to y'all's policy, the next thing is to set, get this meeting. Oh, well, so and so is out of town. Oh, where so and so is doing this. And so just every week it was another excuse and it was delayed. And then I just went straight to the president. And I said, hey, President Taylor, we're not seeing any progress on this. Can we sit down and have a meeting? And he said, yeah, let's get together. So we sat down, we had a meeting with him, and at the end of that meeting, we were instructed to not continue that process any further. It was the spring of, I think, 2022. And he said, don't continue the process any longer. I need to, over the summer, let me do some research on what other schools are doing with this, you know, type of request. And I'll get back to you. Let's, you know, we'll get back in the
Yeah,
fall.
that's the playbook. That's the
Dear
playbook.
God.
So we
Dry up
didn't do anything. So it's eight.
the red tape around
Yeah.
them.
So we're not hearing anything. We don't know. Meanwhile, Baylor has accepted, they approved their first LGBTQ student group, which was called, what was it?
Gamma
Maybe it was
something.
Prism too. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so our and I and the president of our school went to Baylor. So I brought that up in our follow-up meeting in October of 2022, because now it's a new school year. And we come in and I say we, I mean the board members of Outlaw. So our board comes in, we talk to the president, and we say, hey, you know, where are we at? It's been 8 months. You told us not to continue any further with this process. And he said basically that he was denying the group's application. And it was based on our identity, and
Dang.
that he thought it advocated for a larger agenda, and he wasn't willing to
Agenda.
permit that agenda, which is wild because, like, they didn't even follow their own policy. If we were going through the undergraduate process, we needed, like, the president coming in and interfering is not even part of that process. So he really didn't have authority to stop in and even
Right.
say
You're
anything,
absolutely
but
right.
he did. And I mean, there's nothing else we could do about that. But he then handed us a letter. Everything was in writing. We're not allowing you guys to be an official organization. So.
As a campus, or I mean, as a person who like led stuff like this on my own campus when I was there too, and help directly helping students, this frustrates me so much because that, like Crystal said earlier, playbook, just throw as much red tape around what would be a normal, fast, easy process for a straight student group, but they're going to put all this red tape around it just because you're queer, and then you still are tenacious enough to go through and do what they're saying that you need to jump through hoops for, and then at the end of that, they're like, oh well, no. We're just gonna can do it.
What's wild though is like, that there are other student groups that are just weird and quirky and off the wall. There's just like some random, and they're allowed to be official student groups. And it's not like, those clubs officially represent the school in any way. It's just like a Dungeons and Dragons group, and it's just like that's allowed, those things are allowed to be on the
There was
website.
literally a group at our school that, and I won't say the name, but during that same time, during that same time, they participated in a what was the name of it? It was like a Halloween thing, but it was like tarot cards were
So
involved and all
mysticism.
this, all that stuff that's supposed to be like against the tenets, because that's what they keep saying,
Christian.
the tenets of our
The
belief
tenets.
system. Like, I mean, isn't like the devil and all this stuff,
I
but okay, I don't know.
think it at a at another school in California, and I don't know if it's the same at Sanford. I'd be curious to do research on this, but Turning Point USA had an official group on campus, which is an ultra conservative, like pro gun, pro like all the, that's okay. But it's just wild to me the standards and the hypocrisy, it's so blatant. It's so blatant.
And the thing that, obviously gets to me, because a lot of people still don't understand, I try to make it very clear that the reason, because a lot of people, the first thing they're going to say, they're a private school, they can do whatever they want. And so it's important to let them know, hey, but this is different. Because Samford, schools like Samford receive federal funding. And just like universities like University of Alabama that receive federal funding, yes, they're public, but they receive federal funding, so they have to comply with federal law,
Law.
which is what the one we're focusing on is Title IX, not being discriminated against due to sex. And of course, there's been recent decisions that's come out and said, and even the Biden administration said that the word sex also refers to sexual orientation, gender identity. It encompasses all of those expression and all that. And so what we're saying is this is a problem because legally it should not be, if you're going to receive federal funding and you're a private institution, cool. But shouldn't you also adhere to federal law? That means like you can't discriminate on discriminate against a group based on sex, sexual orientation, all of that. Just like University of Alabama could
You
not
would
turn
think
away
so.
outlaw. Outlaw is able to be who they are because of Title IX and because they receive federal funding. So Samford receives federal funding, even though they're private. But they're not adhering to federal law. Now, If they were not receiving federal funds, then we would never even have this discussion. Because
Yep.
there are a
Yeah.
lot of schools that are religious, they're private, and they get no money from the government. Cool. We're not talking about them. But the
Right.
ones that we're talking about are these that receive federal funding and still choose to discriminate.
Where
So.
is Outlaw now? What's your work with Outlaw now? I know you've graduated, but I'm sure that you've passed on the torch.
Yes, I dibble and dabble a little bit. I check in with them. There are two students who kind of head Outlaw right now. And they are working. I don't know, like I said, I'm not as involved as before. But I do talk to them from time to time, let them know things that are going on in the community. If I find out, like recently we had our homecoming. We had a Safe Sanford tent. I let them know, hey, Safe Sanford. I obviously let them know what's going on with REAP, so they know that they can plug into some resources if they need to. There should be a protest on the horizon, another one. We usually have one every single year.
Heck
So
yes.
I have heard
Bring
that
it.
there is one in the makings. So that's they're
Excellent.
still doing things. So
The work never stops. The grind, you have to keep pushing on, pushing on, pushing on. And I mean, like, things do change. People, things do change. You know, it's totally worth the time to invest in something you believe in, regardless of what the powers that be say about it. I think that's the thing that I take from hearing this story is that, yeah, you know, people don't like you. People won't like you. People won't understand. And you come up against empire constantly, you know, but that wall does chip away. You know, there is a path that is beyond that wall. And I know that
And
it's there for Outlaw.
I think so too. And I think sometimes the change isn't policy change. Sometimes the change is not institutional change. Sometimes the change is what you freaking created, Angela. The change in what queer students now have access to at Sanford because of you. That is what is making a difference in people's lives. Like you are like what you have done and what you've created will literally save lives on that campus.
Amen
And
to that.
you know, even though that like the institutionalization of or the policies suck and the hoops they try to make you jump suck. All that sucks, but you know what? You still created something, damn it, at the end of the day,
We
that's never
did.
gonna go away. And
And
you know,
it's on paper in several we have several media sources. We also have the Title IX. We filed a complaint, federal complaint. So there are a lot of things that we did, we were able to do within that time and we'll continue to do.
Speaking truth to power.
Heck yeah. Yeah, you're they were lucky to have you on their campus. Well,
Absolutely.
I was lucky to be there. I made some great friends, so.
And on that note, right before we wrap up, you know, this episode is coming out right before Thanksgiving, and traditionally, holiday seasons are so tough for LGBTQ youth, let alone adults, or adults, let alone the youth, the other way around. But we always want to lean into the meaning of chosen family, which is something that as queer people, we have had to do over and over and over again. What does that phrase mean to you, and what relationships come to mind when you think about chosen family?
You know, chosen family, that's home right there. That's where the heart is. People around you who make you feel comfortable. You don't have to act like somebody else. You don't have to, you know, pretend. You can be who you are, your authentic self, and they accept you and they love you unconditionally. I will definitely give a big shout out to Professor Lynn. Lynn, oh my gosh, my mind is getting. Oh.
Hey, Prof. Lynn.
Hogwood.
Prophlin.
Oh my gosh, my
Okay.
bad. Hogwood. My goodness. Lynn Hogwood was the and still is Outlaw's student advisor. So when we needed someone to list It's not easy for some of the faculty and the staff to be like, oh yeah, I'll be the one that's like the name attached to this group and this
Sure.
new thing.
Yeah.
But she did not waver. She did not hesitate. She was like, where do you need me? I got
Yeah.
you. She has been with us every step of the way, everything that we've needed. So big, big shout out to Professor Lynn Hogwood. And she's one of those people who, when we were talking about chosen family, I remember one time I walked into her office, and as soon as I walked in, she spun around in her chair. She had this big smile on her face, and she was like, hey, Angela, how you doing? And I looked at her and I said, you know, I just read something the other day that your chosen family or something like that, like your real friends are the ones who, when you come into the room, they light up. At
Yeah.
your presence brings that out of them. That's how you know,
Oh.
those are your people. And so you walk into a room and people are not like, hey girl, then I don't know. They may, you know, like they need to be excited about you. You know, that's, I don't
Yeah.
know. So
That's
I
real.
said that. What's that?
I know,
That's real.
I totally agree with that. Like, I think that when you have so many conflicting identities that aren't just like straight white male,
Yeah.
you know, like I'm a black woman, I'm a queer woman, I am a fat woman, I am like there's so many other parts of my identity. And I feel like when I get into some of these groups, I do so much code switching because I
Yes.
have to perform in order to survive, you know? And when I'm around my chosen family, there's absolutely no code switching. It is just Crystal, how you doing? And then you know,
Yes,
and then you just settle into
hugs.
yourself, you know?
Yeah. And I did write a little list because I'll be forgetting. The board members, the original OGs of Outlaw, Austin, Mercedes, Mackenzie, Andy, Alex, also Dean Strickland. He's retired. Big shout out. He's wanted us to go forward. He ran into some issues with the VIPs up there, but we appreciate him advocating for us. Also Britt Blaylock, who is the founder of Safe Samford, which is the alumni group. Yeah.
She's also was the first one to start the Safe or Samford Together, which was the undergraduate group. Julie Conradi, she's a minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church. Every time we had a protest, she came out there. Boy, she had that reverend little
The
collar
collar.
thing. Yeah, the collar.
She's out there front and center. She's talking about us during her the Sunday morning. What is it called? The session,
The
the Sunday
sermon?
morning service. Oh my gosh, service. Some like sessions. And then, of course, Cole Adams, who was the Outlaw president for University of Alabama. So all those folks, I thank them always and forever for, you know, helping me and guiding me. Could not have done it without their help. And a huge, huge, huge shout out to Aaron, Reap, because without y'all, like y'all definitely helped.
That's what's
Definitely big
up.
ups.
I
Big
feel
ups.
like you have done Outlaw very proud today by
Wow,
telling your
that's
story
awesome.
and, you know, talking about the conception of it and the troubles that you went through and how it survived.
I hope so.
So,
Yeah. Passing the torch.
if people want to learn more about Outlaw, where do they go?
Yes, we have an Instagram, and let me see. Recognize underscore outlaw. So if you go to recognize underscore outlaw, that is our Instagram. We might need to update a few things, but at least that's a good place to start. You can also send an email to recognize underscore outlaw at gmail.com if you want to contact. So yeah.
Yes. And if you have, and if you're interested in making your own student group, you know, you can always go to Reap, Reap's website and learn a lot more about that, right, Erin?
Absolutely. We have an Instagram too, Reap underscore LGBTQ, and we have our fireside chats with the student support groups every other week. And if you're a queer student at really now at this point, any university, please join us.
Yes.
Thank you both for sitting with me. I so appreciate it.
Thank
Thank you for
you.
having me.
Catch you on the flippity flip. There is no code switching around chosen family. They make us feel seen and safe. This giving season, make a gift for those students forming the chosen family that will keep them alive and thriving on some of the most non-affirming campuses in the United States. We have no idea what 2025 will bring, but that won't stop us from putting up a hedge of protection around the students that ask for our help. And so I ask you, will you be part of this change with us? Simply go to thereap.org and start your monthly pledge. Every little bit counts. And you can find out more about Outlaw at recognize_outlaw on Instagram, or send an email to recognize_outlaw@gmail.com to find out more about the organization and how you can chip in to help.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.